Call to order this regular assembly meeting in the city and borough of Wrangell on May 13th, 2014, at 7 p.m. This evening, pledge of allegiance will be given by, will be led by Assembly Member Daniel Blake, after which, if you remain standing for the invocation, begin by a member of the Baha'i Faith.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
There's been an increase in activity among our native population in Wrangell lately. And in honor and respect for that, I'd like to read a prayer that was brought to our community by Kevin Locke. He's a world-renowned hoop dancer and a member of our faith. O Great Spirit, whose voice I hear in the wind and whose breath gives life to all the world, hear me. I am small and weak, one of your many children am I. Let me walk in beauty and make my eyes ever behold the red and purple sunset. Make my hands respect the things you have made, and my ears sharp to hear your voice. Make me wise that I know the many things you have hidden in every leaf and rock. I seek strength, not to be greater than my brother, but to fight my greatest enemy, myself. Make me always ready to come before you with clean hands and straight eyes. So when life fades, like the fading sunset, my spirit may come before you without shame.
Thank you. I have two proclamations this evening. The first one is for Lemonade Day. Whereas Lemonade Day is a free community-wide education event providing children with the opportunity to learn and apply entrepreneurial thinking and create a foundation for success in the global economy. And whereas Lemonade Day exists to infuse today's youth with the spirit of enterprise, teaching the basic business and entrepreneurial skills necessary to become successful, contributing members of their communities. And whereas Lemonade Day has a core philosophy, a spend, save, and share, that is implemented by teaching children how to start, own, and operate a business, learn goal setting, develop a business plan, establish a budget, seek investors, provide customer service, and give back to the community. And whereas Lemonade Day offers opportunities for families, businesses, schools, youth organizations, faith-based communities, neighborhoods, institutes of higher learning, and government agencies to unite for a common purpose, to train the next generation of entrepreneurs. And whereas Lemonade Day is an event that demonstrates to young people of Wrangell that they are important and citizens care about their future, and the city of borough of Wrangell salutes and commends organizers, volunteers, and participants of Lemonade Day, a program that advances life skills, character, and entrepreneurship, and extend best wishes for a successful and rewarding observance. Now, therefore, I, David L. Jack, Mayor of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, do hereby proclaim Saturday, June 7th, 2014, as Lemonade Day, and encourage all residents of the City and Borough of Wrangell to participate and have a role. either selling or buying lemonade on Saturday, June 12th, 7th, 2014.
I'll take it.
If you can take that, take care. Thank you. And the second proclamation is National Center for Missing and Exploited Children, National Missing Children's Day. Whereas, according to the most recent comprehensive national study for the number of missing children, an estimated 800,000 children younger than 18 were reported missing, and whereas approximately 58,000 of these children were victims of non-family abductions, and more than 200,000 were the victims of family abductions, and whereas on average nearly 2,000 children are reported missing to law enforcement agencies daily, and whereas the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children, NCMEC, exists as a resource to help prevent child abduction and sexual exploitation, help find missing children, and assist victims of child abduction and sexual exploitation, their families, and the persons who serve, professionals who serve them. And whereas National Missing Children's Day is a special time to remember those children who are missing and give hope to their families. Now in partnership with NCMEC and its supporters, I, David L. Jack, Mayor of the City and Borough of Wrangell, proclaim May 25th, 2014 as National Missing Children's Day and urges local government, law enforcement, schools, and communities to take time to talk to children about personal safety and abduction prevention, and also urges individuals to take 25 minutes out of their day to help children stay safer. Therefore, be I further proclaim that May 25th, 2014 is set aside as National Missing Children's Day as part of the City and Borough of Wrangell's continuing efforts to prevent the abduction and sexual exploitation of children. That's all the ceremonial matters we have for this evening. Roll call, please.
Assembly members Decker?
Here.
McCloskey?
Here.
Wilma Stokes?
Present.
Blake?
Here.
Wiederspoon?
Here.
Stowe?
Here.
And Mayor Jack?
Present. Amendments to the agenda. Conflict of interest. Consent agenda.
I'll make a motion to approve items on the consent agenda 6A, 7A, 7B, and 7C.
I'll second it.
Been moved and seconded. Any discussion? Roll call, please.
Assembly members Wilma Stokes?
Yes.
Blake?
Yes.
Wiederspoon?
Yes.
Stowe?
Yes.
Decker?
Yes.
McCloskey?
Yes.
And Mayor Jack?
Yes. Item 8, Borough Manager's Report.
Just a couple items. As most of you probably have seen, our new boat haul out is in town and being assembled. It's quite a sight down there. So, and it looks like it will take probably another 10 days to a couple weeks to do all the things and the training, and then hopefully they can give her the trial run and lift out a boat. So, but it's coming together nicely. Weber Street is under construction and expected to be completed in about a month or so with concrete paving. Mm-hmm. So that's going well. The Casiar project is under contract and the pre-construction meeting has taken place. And one thing we're looking at, and we couldn't really talk about it until the contracts were signed, is because the bids were in so much lower than expected, we're looking at some additional things that maybe we can do because we will have some extra money. One example is possibly looking at doing concrete instead of blacktop. So hopefully we'll be able to do that. That certainly lasts a lot longer. So anyway, the contractor is going to be giving us some prices for that. So We're looking at some things we can do in addition to what we, or things we would have liked to have done, but we didn't think we were going to have the money there. I also have had a teleconference today with the Petersburg manager and mayor about the SEPA offer. And we have a teleconference on May 19th with SEPA, so that process is moving along. We have a budget hearing on May 27th at 6:30, in which time the public can provide testimony and give comment on the draft budget or add things they would like to see. Let's see, union negotiations will start tomorrow, so we'll be working on that. We also bid out the paper for some towing services for derelict cars, and we're working to find and I think we have a temporary site here maybe that we can use until our other site is available. And as maybe some of you knew, maybe not all of you, but we have a site picked out in the industrial subdivision up there. And currently we have some soil, contaminated soil, that's on there that was taken out from the Front Street project. We had to have somewhere to put it. And we think we are close to getting a resolution with DEC to be able to move that rather than having to ship it out or do something. So if that's the case, we can get that off there in a couple days and then finish that. But in the meantime, we're looking at moving ahead to get some of these vehicles off the parking lots and other places. So we'll be working on that, and that's about it.
Quick question on the derelict cars. What's going to happen to them once we get them moved back there? They're just going to sit there forever and rest, or do we have a potential buyer for them for scrap so we can recoup some of the money?
There was someone in town that did that, and I think that person may no longer be in business. I'm not sure. But we have in the past, actually, if we need to, the sanitation department can ship out scrap metal. In addition, from time to time, there's a guy that comes through Southeast here and has been doing that forever, and he'll basically haul it off. And for our point of view, if he just come and get all the metal out of our landfill and do it occasionally, and he does do that, we would be happy to do it. So.
Okay.
But we do have limited space up there to actually stockpile too much.
Right, I just didn't want to see us end up with a big, huge junkyard back there.
Sure.
Any other questions from manager? Borough clerk?
I don't have anything in addition to add, just to remind the assembly and the public that I will be out of town next week attending training, and Deputy Clerk Cookie will be holding down the fort while I'm away. Mm-hmm. So if you do need to reach me, or if you have a question, if you send me an email, I will respond to that, because I still will have email.
Thank you. Any questions? Item 10, Mayor Assembly reports and appointments. And the assembly members have a report. Item 10B, appointment to fill a vacancy on the following committees. Wrangell Convention and Visitors Bureau, we did receive one letter of interest from Nancy Del Perro. That is the only letter we have received for that. And unless there's objection from the assembly, I will go ahead and appoint her to that position. The other committee we have is the Economic Development Committee, and as of this time, there has been no letters of interest received for that. So we'll continue to advertise for that. Mm-hmm. Item 11, persons to be heard. I have one person, Tracy Davidson, on animals. If you'd come up and state your name and address, please.
Hi, my name is Tracy Davidson. I live at 936 Ash Street. I'm here today We seem to have quite a few people in town that have recently jumped onto the chicken, owning chickens. And first, I want to say I am not against chickens. I think it's great. You want to get your eggs. It's a good thing. What I'm here about is a rooster. We currently live next to a rooster, and that rooster starts crowing about 6:30 in the morning now. As early as the daylight's going to get, it's going to start going a little bit earlier. It's about 5 times a minute for about 15 minutes every hour on the hour throughout the day. Sorry, I'm a little bit nervous. Sometimes it crows all the way up to about 6 o'clock at night. We're about 50 yards away from this neighbor. We were told that we had to call the police department every day to complain to establish a pattern of noise, which, okay, we've done that. And there's actually city codes that should be enforced with that, code number 9.08.090, the keeping of an animal that causes a disturbance by noise after being informed that noise is having an effect and the noise continues. Code 20.52.270, adequate procedures and facilities to avoid unreasonable off-site odor, noise, disturbance to adjacent properties. I did go to this neighbor before calling the police to let her know that after about a week and a half, my daughter and granddaughter were having sleep problems because of it. It was a civil conversation, but her solution to this problem was to move it down the street to another's neighbor house, which borders others and is about 200 yards from our bedroom. We can hear their chickens, but again, that's not the problem. The rooster's the problem. It seems that this whole thing has gotten way out of control and has escalated into us being harassed on an almost daily basis. So again, I want to say that we are not against the chickens. We're not haters of animals or chickens. I just don't want to live next door to a rooster. And I think that they should be banned from single-family residential neighborhoods.
That's it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Item 12, unfinished business. We have none. Item 13, new business. 13A, discussion and possible action regarding contacting the borough attorney. Anyone want to start discussion on that? Good.
Well, I asked that this be put on the agenda at the last meeting, and my personal opinion is that when we engage our attorney, it costs the city money, and there should be some rules about how we do that. I believe that a majority consensus of the assembly is the proper way to do that, and there's a second reason for that. Not only does it have to do with money, but it has to do with transparency to the public. So in other words, if I were to just call the attorney and say, I want you to do this, X, Y, and Z, the public doesn't know that. They don't hear what the issues are. They're not aware of what's happening. And so I think if an issue is important enough for the attorney to look into it, you know, it should come before the assembly and the public should be aware of it. So for two reasons, I think that we have some information in our packet that Kim put together and the code review committee has been looking at. It says there's a proposed new ordinance that's going to be coming before us, and right now the section reads, the mayor, the borough manager, the borough clerk are authorized to contact and make requests of the borough attorney directly. The assembly, by a majority vote, may request the borough attorney be consulted regarding matters outside the scope of normal business. So I think that's heading in the right direction. A couple of things I question about that is, what does outside the scope of normal business mean? Just some further clarification there, but I want to bring that forward, and it was an issue that came up, and that's my position at this point.
My opinion on the matter would be, because it does cost us money every time we engage the attorney, and also, we don't want, say, three of us calling the attorney asking for variations of basically the same thing and sending him in three different directions. That would get pretty expensive. Looking at what Kim had put together about what other communities are doing, I really like the way Kodiak has theirs worded. It's simple, it's to the point, and it's, there's no argument about it. Basically, it says the mayor, the city manager, and the clerk authorized to contact the attorney individually. Our attorney is also contracted, not a staff position, which is what ours is. And council members are not authorized to act independently unless the council as a whole authorizes it.
That would get rid of your question on the outside of scope of normal businesses. That's just mm-hmm. flat out right there. There's no more question about it.
Mm-hmm. Yes, go ahead.
This is all kind of directed mm-hmm. when I made some inquiries. I still stand firm on the idea that there's a couple of things in this whole sentence and paragraph that are there. Number one, the mayor doesn't have any more authorities than any of the rest of his council people to talk to the attorney unless the council makes the decision to have him be our spokesman. That also goes true with the city manager. The city manager has responsibilities under our ordinances of what he can do. This also goes to the borough clerk. The borough clerk also is established by code what she is allowed to do as far as talking to the attorney. The controversy started when I sent a letter and asked the borough attorney to clarify his ordinances, which was some ordinances which were on the books, and if we start with our charter, and then we pass ordinances that are there, that is to have clarification of where that power lies. The questions that Julie and Blake have raised have nothing to do with that, with instigating or asking or directing the city attorney to give opinion on other subjects. You don't have that authority as a council to do that individually. You do get that direction as a council to direct the city manager or the city clerk to do certain things. And that's usually what we do. We don't usually do it through the mayor unless we are one of the, what council people want to be involved to listen to what the attorney has to say. Because if it's in lawsuits or anything like that, those are all confidential. I feel, and this has been brought up before, and I've had this argument before in the public, that it is my responsibility and my fiduciary responsibility that when there is something brought up by the ordinances and we're not going by them, that we need clarification. That clarification should be offered, and it should be my responsibility to make sure that we are all operating under our own rules. And that's where I came from on this. I don't believe that the mayor should have the authority to talk to him without the consent of the council. The borough manager is already laid out in our rules, and the city clerk are all. So most of this stuff's already taken care of. We just need to follow rules. And that's all I've asked for before, and that's all I've stated before. So that's my position. Thank you.
Anything further on the subject?
Do we want to just wait for the code review committee to bring something forward to us, or give some direction, or?
I think we should just give some direction, and as we put in this I still think Kodiak's got it just down right out there. And everything that is supposedly done through the council is supposed to go through our city clerk so that everybody on the council has that paperwork and sees what's going on.
And the statement you're making is pointing towards me.
Not pointing toward everybody. Yeah, anything that goes into any information has to be going, it has to go through our city clerk. She in turn sends it to us so we do know what is going on. It isn't just one person.
And the idea of the money on this other thing is subject is one we're not following. We need to follow it. Every time we get these attorney bills, we need to go through them. And anything above it, we're not specifying. We need to specify here at the council with a vote.
So I guess I'd like to ask James a question. If you were adamant about the attorney clarifying ordinances,
yes.
Why wouldn't you bring that to the assembly for the assembly to approve those questions then going to the attorney? I mean, what's wrong with that process?
What's wrong with having the information to bring to the council?
Because every single one of us could have a different particular issue and a different way to phrase
but
it, like Daniel mentioned.
That goes back to the, excuse me, I'm sorry for interrupting.
And the public is also left out of the loop at that point.
My point was already made. These are existing ordinances and rules. Mm-hmm. I wasn't asking for anything else but just clarification.
We're kind of retreading the same ground here.
Yeah, we are. Mike?
You have something new to add?
No, I just want to add, not to that, but I think that if you're going to take this and send it back to the code committee needs to go back and review our rules that are in existence and look at that. And if the council is not aware of all these rules that we're supposed to, we should put that paperwork back up in front of us, review the rules as they're written, and then go forward from there.
What's the assembly's pleasure?
I have a question for clarification. This says at the meeting on May 27th, there will be a proposed ordinance introduced to you. So did the code review committee approve this?
Can I answer?
We
did. We approved for this to go to the attorney for review. And the only thing that's different in the proposed paragraph is the addition to the mayor. And that's why in the next paragraph that I wrote, that the attorney's office said that it's appropriate to allow that. If it's up to the assembly, though, if the assembly does not want to allow that, that can be removed. And if that is the assembly's wish, then I'll remove that before it even comes before you. And when it comes before you in the form of an ordinance, it's that whole code section that has been revised. Mm-hmm.
I'll just make one statement regarding the part about the mayor in there. During the time I've been mayor, I have contacted the borough attorney one time, and that it was at his request. Other than that, I have never contacted the attorney on any issue that hasn't come to the assembly first.
Well, if this has gone to the code review, and if we need to make a motion or a possible action, I would move that this gets moved to the code review committee, and the portion of the sentence that's regarding matters outside the scope of normal businesses be dropped until we figure out what that means or how we would actually interpret scope of normal businesses.
Are you making that as a motion?
Make as a motion.
I second.
Yes. Moved and seconded. Any discussion about the motion?
So is that the only, in the discussion, is that the only thing that we can review?
Yes, the motion's on the floor.
Unless you want to make an amendment to that motion.
I'll make an amendment to include the, I don't know how to state that. them to review the procedures on our others, the city manager, the clerk, and that.
So do you want to make a motion?
Yeah, I don't know if...
You want to make a motion to defer this to the, back to the code review committee?
Please, that's my motion.
You can do that.
Is that a second motion, or...
That was...
It's an amendment to the motion.
There's a main motion on the floor, and then he made the motion to defer, and that is allowed. So we need a second on that.
Need a second to the...
To defer.
To the code committee.
I'll second that.
Been moved and seconded. Any discussion on disabled members Stowe's motion amendment? Hearing none, poll vote please.
So this is polling vote on the motion to defer?
Right.
Okay. And then if that happens, and when it comes back to the assembly, it'll come back with that motion on the floor if this passes. Does that make sense?
No, actually, that doesn't make sense to me.
So the motion, right now, what the assembly is going to be voting on is the motion to defer this item, to review it to the code review committee. Mm-hmm. And then once it comes back to the assembly as this item, it'll come back to the assembly with the motion on the floor that was made to remove that item. And...
To remove
the verbiage.
To remove that last...
The verbiage.
Last sentence.
Right.
The original motion was that it be...
It brought forward, which is the verbiage removed, and then now it's been put on there to have it deferred.
So there is one more thing that can be done. If Assemblymember McCloskey wants to withdraw her original motion, that can happen. And then when it comes back, you can see how the Code Review Committee has come up with new language, and then it can be changed or whatnot. Or we could just leave it as it is. And then when it comes back to the assembly, it'll come back with that motion on the floor.
But at this time, what we would be voting on is...
To defer.
To defer it, that assembly members tell...
And once it's deferred, we move on.
We move on, we don't go back to the other motion. Only unless it's that motion is voted down,
right.
Then we go back to it and vote on the original motion.
Oh yeah, this has already been brought to the code review, and that's what the code review has brought to us, so. Anyway, call for the vote.
Okay.
Assembly members McCloskey?
No.
Wilma Stokes?
Yep.
Blake?
No.
Wiederspoon?
No.
Stowe?
Yes.
Decker?
No.
And Mayor Jack?
No. Now we return to the original motion, which was to have that, to accept this with the exception of that last phrase that contains outside the scope of normal business. Any discussion on that? The motion. Hearing none, poll vote please.
Assemblymember Stecker?
Yes.
McCloskey?
Yes.
Wilma Stokes?
Yes.
Blake?
Yes.
Wiederspoon?
Yes.
Stowe?
No.
I'm sorry?
No.
And Mayor Jack?
Yes.